Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
Merry Halloween, friends. Welcome to another drive-in. Yes, it's so fun to go to movies with your friends. And today's episode is the first in our All Hallows Eve drive-in special, in keeping with our theme of verses and doing our best to find the good in the other. And so today, to kick off this series, we are going to discuss the Oscar-winning 2004 Alien versus Predator. And I have some fellow geeks with me who joined me at the drive-in, Ryan and Leah. And we just wrapped up this movie. In credits, we watched all the way through the credits in case there would be like an end credit scene. There's not. And so what we did, we left a little disappointed. There's no end credit scene. And we're leaving the theater. And I turn to Leah and I say, Leah, what's the first words out of your mouth? What's the first reaction? And I look at you and say, what'd you think about Alien versus Predator?
My first reaction is the one I have in real life at our drive-in is, well, I can't get that hour and a half back.
There you go. Can't get that out back. Ryan, we're leaving you. After she says that, I look at you and go, well, what do you thought? What do you think about this? What are your thoughts on this movie? Quick reactions. First thing you say.
Man, Leah and I are probably going to come down on opposite sides of this movie.
Ooh, in line with our versus theme. Okay.
Well, I guess the thought I would have had, if I'm sitting right next to Leah during this movie, I'm like, oh no, are we going to be able to be friends after this? Because I think we're going to hate each other. I love the last image this movie gives us. It's like, oh shit, we're going to get another movie. But this was the first Alien or Predator movie I ever saw. So I kind of would have been blown away. But the best was yet to come.
There you go. There you go. All right. Good. Good. Well, for me, I turned to both of you and I'm like, well, flares and jump scares, just what we needed. PG-13 Alien versus Predator movie. I'm so glad that was PG-13 that you could bring the family to come watch this movie.
Was that PG-13?
It sure was.
There was a lot of stabbing for that to be PG.
2004. Right? Remember 2004? We were just stabby. Really? It was 2004 was very stabby.
PG-13 meant something back then.
It meant something back then.
It was like a real old 13 for that.
So folks, that's our first reactions to this movie. And yeah, when we were thinking of movies in this versus category for Halloween, you'll listen to other drive-in episodes of versus that are actually in the title of these drive-ins. It's not just like pitting two monsters against each other, but the movie title has verses in it. So,
okay.
Like Leah, you're real briefly here. What's your relationship to this franchise, Alien and Predator, or both, or either?
Briefly, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. I know it's gonna be hard.
Didn't we do this last year?
It's not a 3-hour ride. Home. So, it's like a 15-minute ride
Freddy,
home.
So. Freddy versus Jason, and you don't have me on. I'm gonna have thoughts because that's all.
I think that's somebody else, not me.
I saw it in the theater. My relationship with Predator, I'll start there, is fairly limited. I've seen like the Arnold Schwarzenegger one and the this one, and I think one other. I sort of got the premise. I will say, I think that's what this movie was good for, is you got a little more of the background of Predator, which gave me a little more insight into that. You got no background into the alien, it seems like. So they just showed up, apparently. But we didn't need that because we had Ridley Scott. So, you know, that's... I love, on the other side, I love the alien film. As go and watch Brian and I's podcast, Fear Camp, about that. So I've always loved the aliens. And the first one I saw was Alien. And I've seen, I think, all of them at this stage. I don't think there's any I haven't. And I saw this like way back and clearly remembered none. And I was like screeching. It is flares and jump scares. It truly is. Yeah. I will say it's a scary film in that sense. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I was like, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, I'm gonna send a flare gun out and call my friends or
it uses a lot of really good horror tropes.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't add to the story unless you're like big into Predator lore. But yeah. I do think it uses a lot of good horror tropes.
Yeah.
That was I'll hit more on that later. I was like, this is like, if you love trope heavy movies and you're okay with it being like a pastiche of things you already know are coming, you're going to enjoy it. Like, yeah. But Will, would you like me to give the short bio?
Yeah. Like what's your relation to this series? Yeah.
So this was the first movie with either character that I ever saw. So if you're listening to this and you're like, what do you mean you didn't watch Ridley Scott's original Alien movie first? I'm like, I was 13 when this came out. And the idea of a intergalactic bounty hunter fighting an alien lizard monster. Yeah, I'm going to go to a theater, sneak away $10 and go have a great Saturday at the movie theater.
And you were 14, so you didn't get in trouble because it's PG-13.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure a friend of mine and I went and saw this, but like, It was more, it was grittier. It was darker. It was, you know, what Leah said, it was scarier than like a Star Wars movie had ever been. So I was like, oh, there's more to sci-fi. There's more sci-fi than what I've been exposed to. But then like, I went really heavy into the Predator franchise first, you know, saw the original Schwarzenegger movie. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfection. Like it's nasty. Like that movie is gross. But then, you know, I saw the Danny Glover one and I was like, oh, so they do get worse. Like, but that one's nasty and gory too. And I didn't get into Alien proper until Ridley Scott's new movies were coming out. So when Prometheus was coming out, I was like, oh, I should probably go watch these movies. So I bought like a box set of the original four, Alien films. And I just like watched them on repeat through high school. And Predator had a few movies that came out while I was in high school. So Predators, the Adrian Brody led movie, like that movie does a lot of what Leah was saying. This movie does, it adds to the Predator lore. Predator is probably the better franchise when it comes to the lore of the central monster. But cause there's not much you need to know about the alien as a creature. Like we know how it works and we know, We just have to put the way it works into different scenarios.
Yes, unless there's a TV show that has like a human that can communicate with it, and then we'll get some backstory of how they're feeling.
Yeah, who knows what that would even look like for 8 episodes or so.
And also, if the alien happens inside the body of something that it isn't the body of, like a predator.
Yeah.
I didn't see the sequel, but I'm guessing it's going to be a little bit tougher to kill.
I need to watch the sequel. But before we do that, Brian, sorry to catch up. But in terms of like the plot of this movie, our relationship. I'll share my relationship. Like I watched the Alien movies growing up. I love the Predator movie. I'd never watched in 2004. Like my gap of like going to see. So I never saw this movie until this assignment of this.
Oh.
And I knew of it, but never just went down that road. So someone said, like, you know what we should do? We should have these two aliens fight. That'd be kind of fun. And they did that in 2004. But with this plot, Leah, I know this doesn't fall in continuity. It's almost like a alien what if movie, because it's not like it falls in 2004. We have Waylon, we have Bishop, we have what in terms of the plot. Can you like summarize the plot? What's going on here? Let's hear what we got
what
here.
What if I actually hadn't seen the movie and I was like trying to bluff?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, prof. Let's see how good I could BS this. So it appears that Waylon is still at it, and you get to meet Waylon this time. Mm-hmm. You do some good to meet. Essentially, this group, it's in Antarctica, I think. They have this like abandoned research center, and it feels like they're still doing like the space research and all of that. There's this abandoned center that they have in Antarctica, and essentially they do scans of the Earth, and they've seen it's very tenuous. As I was watching it, I was like, what is happening? And there's a heat signal that comes from underneath the ground at this abandoned center, and so they're like, instead of thinking that could be global warming, or maybe that's a animal fell down that big hole we dug in the ground, they're like, we should go check it out, right, with lots of humans, a lot of them.
And that never goes wrong in sci-fi ever.
Let's go look at it.
Get your team together. Gotta get your team together.
And a team of misfitty people get together. Some of them are kind of mercenary like, some of them are professors. One is a guide who's a woman. So again,
and all armed because they don't know it's there, but they're going to like just, you know, gun up because they don't know.
They got guns. They got a hot professor of anthropology / history / archaeology who just knows all the things, apparently. That's how PhDs work. And I just automatically know hieroglyphics. Oh, guys, I don't know if a little special
trick. I know ancient alien hieroglyphics that no one's ever seen before.
Actually, that's not what that says. I'm like, how do you know? Did you learn?
Okay, hot Spanish guy. How would you know?
I was gonna say you're hot, so I believe you. But was that in your qualifying exams for your PhD? Was alien hieroglyphics? Anyway,
talk ancient text to me.
Right. So the it looked like that, you know. So essentially they go and they try to check out this heat signal. Waylon comes along, even though he's on his way to death, because he's like, I need this for reasons, man reasons, I guess. Ego. There's a lot of ego playing out.
Sure.
And
good trope.
When they get down there, come to find out there was a heat signal, and it came from the predators who were found the hardest thing to kill, that showed that they were real important alien people, which was the alien as we know it. And so there's this like mother alien down there that's periodically unfrozen and giving birth to alien babies so that they can kill. And then the men are stupid and essentially everyone dies except for.
Okay. Yeah. There's a final girl. There's a final girl.
There's a final girl.
There's a final girl. And, you know, in the midst of this, like, I love the thing of like, oh man, eye rolling moment was like, oh great. Yeah. The predators built all the pyramids around the world. Another alien built a pyramid. It's not that humans are smart and can build pyramids, but they're like, they're the ones who come back every 100 years.
Suddenly that weird guy that did Alien, what is it called? Alien, what, with the hair?
Yeah.
The History Channel guy, Alien.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
you make a lot more sense.
Ancient aliens.
Ancient alien. Yeah. This is very based on an ancient alien theory or whatever.
Yeah. So they to set up this kind of arena for initiation, the predators set up this pyramid / place where they can.
It's a pyramid scheme.
It's a pyramid scheme, and some win and some lose. If you're at the bottom of the pyramid, or at the top of the pyramid. And then there's lots of alien blood that like burn lots of things. That's another thing.
Yeah, they put a scar.
There's a lot of alien blood burning up folks and scarring. But Ryan, what do we miss here?
I know you're I would like to just correct you on one thing, friend. Technically, the tagline of the movie was, no matter who wins, we lose. Which is like the most 80s action movie tagline you could give this movie.
I was going to ask this question later on, but, you know, I was going to say, who wins in this movie?
I cannot believe this, Will. You invited me here as a friend, having a conversation amongst friends, and I feel like this is a piece of ambush journalism. I feel like I'm the only person that has positive, I'm not going to say, like, I love this movie. It would be, like, the movie I'd want to be buried with. But, like, was I the only one that had a good time watching this movie?
I had a good time.
Okay. I'm picking on it. And part of this is finding the good. And I will say, go for it.
Well, Leah knows this, because I said this, I was like, 95% of that is Sana Lathan. Like I'm going to be the most reductionist version of a white straight guy that I can be. She is a smoke show. But I loved the setup is so quick, and like they're like, hey, there's a temple underneath Antarctica. The Uatcha predators, they use it as a testing ground for their new hunters. Okay. They bring out this mother queen xenomorph to keep, you know, basically like as the respawn for the, you know, the test. And then they get lured down in there because we can't have aliens without people for the aliens to burst out of. Like, I love the I keep forgetting the hot scientist guy's name, Sebastian. Yep. But he's like, you know, as he's inspecting the bodies, something came out of this, like their heart is like, and the one, like the edgy action girl who brought the gun because she treats guns like condoms. Yes, everybody, that's an actual line that gets said in the
actual
movie.
Actual line.
Exactly. You know she's edgy because she doesn't smile and she's got a gun. But she says, she's like, yeah, that's all well and great, but like, that's not where the heart is. I'm like, how in the world are you a PhD in like archaeology and you don't know where the human heart is?
Stop yelling at him. He's too pretty. He couldn't figure it. He was too busy learning ancient alien art or hieroglyphics, no anatomy.
For languages that we've never seen.
But I will say, spoilers, folks. If you listen to this and you haven't seen this movie, please go back and watch it. But, you know, spoilers. He's not too pretty not to be shot, not to be taken out. Yeah,
that was a brutal part of the movie.
That was a brutal part of the movie. Like, was this movie a good idea? What good can we see in this movie? I will say it was about the first quarter of the movie. I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we dragging so long with this team and these jump scares? Let's get to it. And you don't get to the real fighting between the aliens until like 53 minute mark, like halfway through the movie. That's when they really start ramping up the action and they're going to town and the humans are caught in the middle and being used and all that thing. So when they're walking through this Indiana Jones temple with booby traps and they're getting trapped in a maze, I'm like, yep, here we go. I'm ready to go. This is fun. And then there's certain people you can't wait to get killed off. And you hope to, you know, who's going to win at the end, who's going to live at the end. But then when Waylon died, I'm like, wait a minute, how does this fit the 2144 or whatever the next Alien movie is?
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't like the original Waylon. This is like...
I think it's a long line of Waylon.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Waylon is like a family dynasty. Like this is not like Guy Pearce. This is not Guy Pearce in Prometheus. Okay. If that's an insider reference, I'm sorry.
For someone who doesn't know, I was trying to even with like Alien Earth, I was trying to see where these things fall in the timeline. Yeah. Cause I like continuity. I like to see how things fit. And if it's just a big what if, it doesn't count in regular continuity, that's fine.
In the universe, they were trying to keep it in just by putting Waylon on it, it's going to put it in the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
And like the other thing, you mentioned Bishop earlier, Will. Lance Henriksen, the actor that played Waylon in this movie, was the actor that played Bishop Aliens. Yep. And I believe he shows up at the end of Alien 3 as well as. Mm-hmm. Lance Henriksen has played like three different characters in this franchise. So,
Don't look here.
Nothing to see here, everybody. Just keep moving.
Maybe get like a little pencil mustache.
He's doppelganger. This is Evil Twin right over there. See, look. But yeah,
I know you have a lot you need to get to, Will.
No. I think, you know, as you get to the middle, and you see the fighting and you see these aliens fighting each other. I did like the action. I thought it was clever. Oh. I liked how eventually she came around and, you know, she became mad respect from the Predator for how her actions, and she was marked and found worthy to be a part of or whatever. And even at the end, you know, you have this kind of Jurassic Park Tyrannosaurus Rex alien chasing her through the thing. I'm like, oh, Jurassic alien. This is what we're doing.
Like, but that faster. Was even must go
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, must go fast. It was entertaining towards the end. And I know Lee and I are joking about it. We did not see this at 14-year-old and as a 14-year-old in the theater.
I watched it. My husband was taking a nap, so I watched it by myself. And I like actually had some like points where I was kind of scared. So I think it's job. Like I was like,
yeah,
I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like drink more wine. I don't love, this is going to come up when we have our talk about Alien Earth.
Yeah.
Don't love when they start to bridge the gap between the monsters and people, i.e. like when they become friends, if you want, or start interacting. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, we're supposed to fear this thing. And as soon as you humanize it, the fear. So as soon as she became pals with Predator, at least, or gained respect, whatever.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Predator was like, didn't scare me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, Predator wasn't the villain. And I think, I don't know. I know she kept, there was a lot. What I will give her credit for, Rod, is the one-liners. She did say the thing about the condom.
Oh, yeah.
But she also said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend or something. And she kept repeating that phrase like it was like she had just come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
we've heard that before. We've heard that before.
Good shit. I should write that down.
Immediately says that.
If I get out of this alive, guess what I'm going to write down? People
the title of my book is going to be this. And it was just like, wow. Yeah.
Well, they wrote her. They wrote her like an 80s action hero. Yep. And like part of me was like, oh, it's kind of like a nostalgic little play on the final girl. Because like in the first Alien movie, Ellen Ripley like has so few like one liner type things. I feel like they cranked it up to 11 and were like, what if she was Schwarzenegger levels of cheese? Yeah. Just, you know, yeah. So I loved parts of it, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend one, it was just like, Sana, we get it. Like, let's move on.
It would be like if I was in a classroom or at beer camp and I just started repeating phrases and y'all were like, okay, Leah, it's now time for you to take.
Please, let's do it. I think you're on the comedy one, right? You're on the comedy one. Let's do it. And let's see if that bit anybody catches on.
If anybody notices.
Leah's on her shit. Let's go.
Yeah, she's like, just sail her off to Valhalla. She's done now. So I think that's sort of what was happening. And I don't know. It was, I found it entertaining. And it was fun, again, in the Versus series. I think it was a fun addition. And it was, you know, scary enough. And we got reintroduced to this Scottish guy who's very Scottish, like almost to a parody point of Scottish. That was in what was that Ewan McGregor film about Scotland where they're all on drugs?
Train Spotting.
Yeah, he was in Train Spotting. Remember, he was like Spud or something in Train Spotting.
Will clearly remembers Train Spotting well.
I don't think I've seen that all the way through. I remember the
character's name.
Well, do they fight to the death in the pyramid in that movie in Train Spotting?
Train Spotting.
Yeah.
No, they're far more willing to fight themselves.
I do, again, circle back around. This is fun movie. If we were to recommend this, would you recommend this to a friend? Are there certain people you would not recommend this to? Like, if you were to like, hey.
Not Christy.
Yeah. Okay.
that's the scheme we need to run. It's like, oh, we're going to watch this like really fun, like, you know, comedy or rom-com or whatever Christy's into. And then it's like.
Christy watch Alien Earth. Because people keep talking to her about it. And I was like, look, here's the deal. You guys know in Knocked Up where the guys are watching all of the films and they point out when someone shows they're naked, basically.
Yes, timestamp.
I said, what if I watch the horror film Alien Earth and I tell you the timestamp of when something scary is about to happen? And then you just fast forward. I said, but you can always tell if someone's staring at a glass thing with an alien in it.
Jump scare. Yeah.
It's dark and there's smoke. Jump scare. Like, you know, you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
Even, If you're walking a dark hallway with a flare and you turn a corner, I'm guarantee you it's going to light up some alien face right in front of you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, if it's daytime and it is broad daylight and people are discussing something, aliens aren't going to show up. Can they come out in this daylight? They sure can, but they don't. They don't.
That's why the tropes are fun.
I know. Well, even in the original Predator movie, a lot of it wasn't all nighttime. They were like in the jungle fighting.
It's bare. The latter part of the third act is at night.
Yeah, the rest of it is camouflage. The whole use of camouflage,
right?
Being in the woods and fighting a war and all that stuff. That original movie, I went back and watched some of the Predator movie after this, and you can really see it was like, oh, that's a hard R with like the gross and gore. The
skin
and
people.
These skin people. And this one is like, oh, this is very PG. Yeah, there's some stabby, but most of the blood is green and it burns things. It's not like, you know, so anyway, like I definitely could see
that. Like chop off people's heads and stuff. I mean, I think like you had that. And then all of a sudden she was like, they were like, here's an alien skull. Girl, you're now my friend. And I'm offering. What happened?
Use it as a shield. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
When I was saying the plot out loud, like as much, I did actually have fun. But when I was saying it out loud, it sounded, when I was trying to put together a narrative, it sounded, I sound like I'm an insane person.
You're in the pitch room. Like, I got a great idea. Alien versus Predator, like, oh, genius. Why did not anybody think about that?
We're going to go to Antarctica.
Yep, Antarctica.
Well, we've all seen John Carpenter's The Thing, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay, we're just going to do, like, the best parts of that movie, but with two different characters.
Yeah. That's right.
Same nice. Group of stupid cool. people wandering, except they're not as well-dressed. There was one point where she's so inconsequential. The girl took off her very thin jacket in Antarctica, because it was getting burned up.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, she's not going to die from the alien or the predator. She's going to get hypothermia.
Put a jacket on, girl.
That's like a 40-year-old version.
I was like, you know what's scary? What was scary? The alien or predator? No, it's scary. She was without a jacket. She was probably
She's just walking around. At least the thing people had proper attire.
Right? Yeah. Right. Kurt Russell never takes off his parka in that movie, but Sana Lathan's just like, you know what? My windbreaker was making me sweat.
I know.
So pneumonia is what I choose.
I'm doing fine. I've got an alien skull. And I'm like, no, bro, your arms are going to fall off.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to start a fire with some alien blood. yeah, how did she get back? Oh, she just left out there. And then the aliens just like, anyway.
The aliens left her. I literally was shouting at the.
Yes.
As Stuart was like,
how is she getting back?
Can I get a ride?
Hold on.
Can I get a ride?
How is she supposed to move that whole like ocean tanker by herself?
Right. Wait a minute.
They just left her there. And I was like, I wanted to be like, excuse me, sir. Remember when you like branded me? Could I maybe hitchhike?
Could your next badass thing you help me out with be getting off this block of ice? One small little thing, because you guys are doing crossovers and versus things, and I'm assuming because it's not in the name, you won't actually do the first true crossover in Hollywood history. Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, first crossover in Hollywood history. They show that movie in this movie as a nod to the first crossover. So if you, in the first 5 minutes, when the people at the research station that are, they've got all the big, like big, satellite dishes that when they go into that scene, you see the fight of the Wolfman and Frankenstein's monster on the TV, as a like little, like nod to it. So if you want to watch the first versus ever, go watch that one.
If we're going to talk about the best, to wrap up here, what is the best movie or drive-ins? Like you go to the movies, and you have to have it. What do you, other than
my hidden wine in my purse?
Yeah, your little straw coming out of your backpack.
The wine bra. I've talked about it on other podcasts. It can be warm though. So not that I've done that, but I would say probably I'm gonna be real basic B here and say I love the popcorn. There's something different about movie popcorn, even drive-in movie, which I have been to in Atlanta. Shout out Starlight. But yeah, movie popcorn and and booze. That
popcorn and booze. Yeah. I love it. Ryan, yep. What about you?
Mama didn't raise a fancy girl.
middle class fancy. Middle class girl, though.
So I also really love movie theater popcorn. But I'll be honest, I'm gonna try to follow the Josh Patterson rule and not try to swear. I think Milk Duds are effing amazing. And if you handed me a box of hot tamales, those would be gone pronto. So like I am a fat adult that still has the fat kid part of his brain very active. So Milk Duds, hot tamales, popcorn, and I'm bringing a large Coke with that. And yes, I do mean like Coke. So yeah,
it's sugary Coke.
No, I was speaking to Leah in the southern sense.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm with you. Like I love it that now drive-ins and movies have to do alcohol and beer. That's popcorn and beer together, movie theater popcorn and a good beer there is pretty good. So, but I do think hot tamales come in should be eaten during this movie because you're going to get burned with some alien blood. Don't.
Oh! Watch out.
Oh! I hope they make them green. I hope they make it.
Don't the ketoacidosis just talking about.
I know.
You're just talking about candy.
Just talking about candy. Oh, no.
Will, your diabetes doesn't need to know that we were talking about
candy. That's right. Uh-oh. Nice. Well, this has been fun. The drive home was fun having this conversation. Have a happy Halloween. I hope that you have lots of jump scares, lots of candy. I hope that you walk up to a house and someone answers the door in a Georgia Bulldog sweatshirt and she hands you a bottle of wine and a full Snickers bar and a bottle of insulin to go along. And on that, folks, happy Halloween.
Thank you all so much for your time listening to this episode. If you want to help sponsor our show, but you can't quite do the membership thing, commit to that once a month payment. Good news, you can leave a donation on our Fourth Wall website. You also can get some free content over there. So if you don't have the money for the membership, but you still want to hear some of the extras and bonuses we do over on Fourth Wall, there's an option for that. If you want to support the show without that commitment every month, again, you can donate over there. Every little bit helps. You know, our show has a lot of needs when it comes to equipment, when it comes to going to some of the events we want to go to, advertising, getting the word out about our show. It takes a lot, and we really appreciate each and every person who's able to help us do it, even if it's something free, just like the free membership or leaving a rate and review on our site. Every little bit helps. Your time listening to this helps, and we appreciate all of you. We're so proud of the community we formed over at Systematic Ecology, and we're very happy and we're proud that you're a part of it. Thank you so much for your time and for being a part of this community.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Ecology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My seminary life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Ecology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.